All right, hello everyone. John and Amy here.
Hello.
We're speaking to you from our morning sessions.
That's right.
We get up in the morning and then we get these downloads and just like to share them while they're fresh. But this one, I want to talk more about awakening and what it is, because I think there's a lot of misconception, especially in the church world, about thinking it's something that looks a lot like the past.
Or too new agey or something.
Yeah, and I think we all know that we are in a true global reset here. It depends on what you think about that. Depends on how you're going to view the outcomes. We were just talking to a family member the other day, and you know, you can go right into survival mode and stay there and start, you know, thinking that the whole world's going to collapse and that it's going to go horrible for you, or you can look at this like, yeah, it's wise to prepare in whatever you feel in your heart, as far as, you know, storing up some extra food and things like that. That's wise anyway,
right?
Because of inflation and things running out, like the TP at Costco. But when it gets into fear is where we really have to do another gut check and heart check. So what is awakening? Well, we really believe it's like a returning to innocence, a returning to our true self. And if we don't look at it like awakening to who we really are, then we're going to look for some external thing that's going to try and satisfy our survival mentality. And I think God is doing something so new here that we've already been in a global awakening here. And we're gonna share more of what we think that means. But listen to this quote. This is so powerful. That was on one of our friends' postings online and just really caught us. And we were like, wow, this is so good. Finding yourself is not really how it works. You aren't a $10 bill in last winter's coat pocket. You are also not lost. Your true self is right there, buried under cultural conditioning.
Yeah.
Other people's opinions and inaccurate conclusions you drew as a kid that became your beliefs about who you are. Finding yourself is actually returning to yourself, an unlearning, an excavation, a remembering who you were before the world got its hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
Emily McDowell. Man, there's so much in this.
Oh yeah, so much.
It's so loaded. But finding yourself is actually returning to yourself, an unlearning.
Yeah, hence the awakening. You're awakening. Yeah. The lights are getting turned on and you're starting to see things more clearly about, you know, your own beliefs. Like, it's almost like stopping you in your tracks to really reassess your life. And isn't that what happens when you turn the light on in a room that you haven't been in a while, and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to start going through these things and getting rid of stuff and organizing it and, you know, packing things up and donating, and you know, it causes you to start bringing order and alignment when the lights are turned on. And a lot of us have been living in the dark for so many years. You know, the world's kind of been living in the dark for so many years, just being living through the motions, going through the motions, and living in these programmed states that they didn't realize they were letting rule their lives, right? And even down like in this thing where it said, you know, even in the first years, it says, even you drew as a kid that became the beliefs about who you are. We know we've often heard the first 7 years of your life reveal who you will be as an adult, because that's, you're getting downloaded all that time, all the programs, and you don't even realize it's what's running you. And so this whole awakening is waking us up out of this to go back further to, you know, before we were even born, who are we really?
The innocence.
And to not find our identity in things or jobs, that's another big awakening. You know, where people were comfortable finding their identity in their job or career or their place in the home and stuff, even that's getting broken up.
Yeah.
For something grander, for your actual eternal being to come through. You know, we forget that we are actually eternal beings here having an earth experience for our own growth and expansion. And so We're waking up to that, and it's such a grander way, too.
It really is. And so if there's one word that has been over and over and over again in our spirit, is this word innocence.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, when Jesus himself said, return to innocence, return to childlikeness, innocence means that he's made us innocent by what he did, right? He returned us to that awe and wonder, like a child would say, oh, really? Wow. They're learning.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to unlearn when you're innocent. Think about that.
Yeah.
You're learning from an innocent state. You're not being conditioned by someone else's opinion, like this quote says here. And how often does that happen in our lives, throughout our lives, from our childhood, like Amy said? So now it's an unlearning, an unconditioning,
yeah,
that's waking us up. And this is happening all over the globe, you guys.
And to be okay with it, because so many of us, right, are going through, oh my gosh, I feel like bawling my eyes out and I don't know why. And I just feel like I'm losing myself. And you just feel like an emotional wreck, but you got to know that that is just part of the tilling up of releasing the old. You just know that when you're crying that stuff, you're crying it up and out. It's like when something is too full and you pour some water in, it's meant to get the stuff out. And so tell yourself it's okay. It's okay to go there. It's okay to cry it out. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. There's actually something right with you going on here. And it's just part of the deconstructing for the new to emerge. And I know you guys know that, but just want to reassure you in that.
Yeah. And when you think about the phrase on earth as it is in heaven, well, we know by what we believe heaven to be is this place of purity, this place of innocence, this place of wholeness, this place of pure love, right? Mm-hmm. And because it is, there is no conditioning that has made it toxic.
Right.
And so if we're going to have heaven on earth in us, it comes through us, then we're going to have to unlearn some things. We're going to have to be unconditioned in order to come back to that state that we were sent here in. And so, you know, like Mo Thomas, he writes the book, what was the name of the book? Again, it's slipping my mind.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Into the Abyss.
Yeah, Into the Abyss. He talks about, you know, where it's remembering. Mm-hmm. Remembering where we came from. And I think really the true, genuine term awakening means that we do remember where we came from. That's heaven on earth.
Yeah.
And so when we wake up to that, something has to be unlearned.
The conditioning
has to come off.
Waking up out of the conditionings.
Yeah, and so we're waking up out of the conditioning. And that means, guys, in other words, it's completely opposite of what religion tells us to do. Religion says we need to double down on our scripture memorization.
Right.
We need to double down on
complicate
prayer.
It more.
We need to double down on intercession. Double down on, you know, shouting more, screaming more, being more holy.
And it just makes you more rigid, and then you break.
It really does. And
so how do you want to get there to ground zero? That direction?
Yeah.
Or childlike surrender?
as if we could make ourselves holy to begin with. And what is holiness? Holiness is innocence.
Yeah.
And we try to do this through some set of rules, rule-keeping, and we try to be good enough, and it's the reward versus punishment type of theology. And guys, you know it doesn't work. Since when did it work in your life where you could be, quote, holy for a day, right? But if you keep trying to keep the law in that, then it gets worse. Like she just said, it stirs up all manner of rebellion. That's scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that more than it is to wait a minute. Jesus talked a lot about returning to childlikeness.
Yeah.
So it's more about that, because what does a child know about keeping all their, crossing all their T's and dotting all their I's, trying to be good enough? A child just has fun learning the wonder and the awe of life, and then walking through it in play and innocence.
Yeah.
In not knowing what the learning and the condition did to them. They're just like, well, this is all I know. I'm a sponge. So being a sponge learning directly from the real Jesus is the key.
Yes. Yep. It is. And you know, I know I always go back to this one movie, but it just is such a representation where, you know, in the good old movie of Hook, where with Peter Pan, and what did the kids, they were shocked that Peter had forgotten who he was, and here he was, this whole guy of adventure, he could fly, you know, there was no limitations, and then he comes into the real world, you know, quotes, and what happens, because he lost the influence, he stepped out of alignment of who he really was, and came under worldly conditionings and beliefs and what other people said he should be in society. And so, and then what happened? Fear crept in. He forgot he could fly. Now all of a sudden he was afraid of heights, all these different things. And it took children to pull him back into the light and remind him of who he was. And remember there, they pushed his skin back and said, "There you are, Peter." And yeah. They reminded him again to come back into his imagination. And what happened when he started playing and pretending that there was food on the table, it manifested. It came out of the spirit into the natural.
Talk about prophetic.
And yeah, it's such a prophetic scene. And that's what God is trying to get us to do. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget what I've put in you. Remember, you're an eternal being. You're a spiritual being here on an earth suit here in this journey.
Yeah, and this is why, you guys, we talk a lot about soaking, a lot about meditating, because it's the way to go right back into our imagination. And imagination is above thought.
Yeah.
Think about this. Amy and I were chewing on this reality of, okay, what would it be like to live above thinking, live above thought? And when you do that, really what you're saying is, I'm going into receiving the imagination that God has given me. And through that imagination world, that's where God speaks to us.
It's the screen. It's the theater screen.
It's the theater screen of life.
It's your film script.
And that's where we wake up to who we really are.
Yeah.
And we begin to see. And that's really the pure sense of déjà vu. That's what that is, because there's flashes. We've been somewhere before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that place of who we really are in the spirit. We've been there before.
On your script.
Because
on your
we're
scroll.
Eternal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we're waking up to what is really true and genuine and authentic in our lives. It's just like this quote says, you're not lost. Your true self is right there, buried under cultural conditioning, other people's opinions, and inaccurate conclusions you drew as a kid.
Yep.
Those became your belief system. And so our belief system has to unravel and continue to unravel. And this is the painful part for people. They go, what's happening to my life? And my life is a train wreck. No, you're being unconditioned.
That's exactly.
And so you're being unconditioned. And then if we're not careful, our religious training will say it's the devil, and we'll start fighting an entity that may not even be there. It's just the unraveling that needs to happen so that we can see the genuineness of who we were designed to be. And like Amy said, COVID messed everything up for everybody in a good way. If you look at it, yes, lives lost are not fun and they're not good in that regard. But what I'm saying is there's a whole lot of treasure that people don't look at that this allowed to happen. And say, for example,
it's
like
that final nudge, final push to get them to make a decision too.
Yeah, like Amy said.
Limbo for years not making decisions.
Yeah, like Amy just said, I was just going there with, say you've been in your job for 20 years and you couldn't stand it, but you were just maintaining and it was killing you.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, guess what? You don't have a job. But you've been actually crying out in your heart to go back to your real self. And you're like, okay, here it is, front and center. Couldn't I save up more money first? Couldn't I win more money in the stock market, God, so that I could have a buffer zone here? No, God doesn't play like that. But what he will do is meet you right in that creative flow of who you really are. But the first thing is you have to come to this. You can't just be creative right off like we were saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you're
that's too hard.
You can't create.
You're in survival. So the best thing to do is soak and move above thought.
Yeah.
allow yourself to move above thought into that imaginary realm by stilling yourself.
Yeah. And you think of the term soaking. So when you're, you know, or meditating, whatever term you want to use, but soaking. So it's what you're doing is you're going in and the water level is raising. The longer you're soaking with the Lord,
yes,
water level is raising so that you can get up above your circumstances and have a clearer perspective and see higher. And it's getting you to step out of thought, because the problem with thought is it makes your mind so narrow and you will just beat that thing to a pulp and you'll just keep adding momentum to your problem instead of the solution. Because you can't think and you can't get the downloads from the Lord when you're in survival. Because you're cutting everything off because you're narrowing your focus to try to find that solution in a problem. It just doesn't work. You have to pull back. You have to surrender so that God's sound, the vibration, the radio signal can get into you. Otherwise, see, because when you're in survival, what are you doing? You're putting a clad iron shield around you. And it's blocking everything out. And so, yes. Because
you're thinking.
Go into soaking instead of thinking. And if your mind is racing too much to do that, then you just need to take a nap, like we always say, because it stops the momentum of thought. Right. It stops that craziness.
Turn on some just music without words.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of distracts you from thinking? You know, there's many different things you can do. Soaking in a literal hot tub, you know.
Yeah, soothing helps yourself.
Soothing yourself to take you out of that state of just that spiral downward. Yeah. Like, you know, when people lose their job, the automatic response for many people, because they're in survival mode, is to run right out and start throwing applications out there in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't work either, because now you're going to take that mad cycle of survival and fear and repeat it over and over again.
When God's trying to get you to just take a moment to let the table pieces clear out here so you can actually see that he might have something new for you, something completely different. He wants to take you on the next course of your journey, but you've been so adamant to say, nope, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. This is what it is right here. And now I lost that job, so now I got to go look for the same thing just with a different company. And God is saying, no, I've put way more in you that you haven't even tapped into yet. And I'm trying to get you to open up to it. And so this is why, again, it's so important to end our effort of trying to figure it out and just pulling on what we know. That's such a narrow way of thinking. We've got to include God. It's like, whose influence are you going to be under? You're either going to be under God's influence, who owns everything, has all these people surrounding you that you can't even see that he wants to bring into your life to guide you the next divine appointment. Or you're going to just keep relying on past experience of what you know. And who wants to do that? How do you ever grow if all you know is your past information? That's gone and past. You grow by new experiences and new opportunities. But it's scary for a lot of people, right? So this is why, again, it's so important. Take a moment. Still yourself. If you need to get away to a cabin, you need to just go into your car and drive somewhere and sit and just still yourself so God can get the signal to you of what's next, what the inspirational ideas are. And again, when you're, you know, when you're stressed in survival, the reason is your heart's closed, so you can't get the signal in. And this is why we're saying do whatever it takes to just soothe yourself, so your heart can open back up to receive the signal.
Yeah, and here's the beauty of this, is that when we do that, God can literally take over and do things quantumly and acceleratedly,
mm-hmm.
Faster than we could have ever done in our own effort. And so, you know, you may be thinking, well, how in the world is work going to happen if I don't put resumes out there, guys? Well, like we just said, we either begin to trust him again, if you've lost that, or trust him to the point to where, okay, God, it's just me and you, and allow the acceleration of that moment of you stilling yourself above thought to do its work.
Yeah.
And when it does, it'll start bringing opportunities to your doorstep.
Because who are you gonna, here's your thing. You either ask the world to give you what you want, or you ask God who owns it all. And he, I mean, you know, so many of us have experienced the things that we wanted came in a way we could have never figured out or never expected. And it came in the actual right timing when we thought we wanted it in a certain time, and it actually wasn't going to be the right timing for us.
Yeah. And when is that timing mostly? Is when we finally let go of the resistance.
Yeah.
You let go of the resistance is keeping that shield up and keeping the blessings out.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our thinking and our effort and our thought process that casts
and programs.
Yeah, that casts forth this wall in front of us and around us to where the blessings are knocking on it, saying, hey, if you just let down the shields of resistance, it's kind of like
your
the
own understanding.
It kind of like it put this in a good way. And Wakanda, you know, in the Black Panther movie, when they put the invisible shield up to keep the enemies out and they were trying to get in, well, think of those as blessings instead. And you've got that invisible shield up.
Because you're in survival mode.
Because we're in survival mode, right? You're always at war. You're always fighting, fight, flight, or freeze. And then the blessings are knocking. They're even banging down the door. Remember what, even in the Old Testament, it talks about these blessings will come and overtake you. That word overtake means to chase you down, climb upon, and overtake. And so this is the nature of our unconditional love inside of us.
Right.
The unconditional Father and the response of what He wants to do for us. But we throw up resistance a lot because we don't know who we are.
And then we
forgot who we are.
Right. And then that's a natural protection device of survival. It throws up a shield clear up and around your whole being. And so, like John saying, like the Wakanda, it's like you don't even realize it's there, but you've shut God out. And because now it's like, I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to do this. I. And it ends up being the spear that buries you. And so,
it really does.
Just want to encourage you guys. I know for me, sometimes, you know, you can have walls up against God and you don't even realize they're there because you've got resentment. Why didn't you come through, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? And so you put a wall up on your heart, and it's not like you're not believing in God or you don't love Him, but it's there. And so what I'd encourage you guys to do is just get real and raw with the Lord and write out your feelings to Him. Write out what you need, write out where you feel like maybe you were abandoned, write out, you know, just tell Him how you feel, because I'm telling you, that will remove these hidden blocks.
The resistance.
And open your heart back up to Him, and then wait and listen to His response back to you, because He is always, as you know, He's so loving, and He'll ask the best questions that'll just bring you out of this state you're in and reestablish that relationship with Him. And that'll help stop the momentum of your rigidness. It'll help stop the momentum of being mad at everybody else or your family's like, man, you're always on edge, you know. And it's because oftentimes we're beating ourselves up and we feel, you know, hopeless or powerless. And so, again, just really encourage you, connect back with the Lord. Just lay it out there with Him. Just get really real. And you're going to feel so relieved because He'll respond back and you'll have that stability and assurance you've been longing for deep inside from the Lord.
Yeah, so good. So part of this quote again, finding yourself is actually returning to yourself and unlearning an excavation. Yeah. And the word excavation, do you know that the word excavation has the word vacation hidden in it? If you look at it and you change the letters around, it has vacation hidden right in it. So in other words, when there's an excavation that takes place, the vacation that we're always meant to live in, the fun, the vacation is always there. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's like a jewel buried. You're excavating. God is excavating. Allowing the conditioning to be unconditioned.
Things to get turned up. Allow things to get turned up.
And then you'll see the jewel. You'll see the jewels of who you really are.
Yeah.
They're there.
Right.
You're a treasure. You're a diamond. You're a ruby. You know, you are the treasure of God in the earth. And so when we allow the excavation to take place, the unlearning, then we can see clearly whoa, wait a minute. And you know, that's what happens when you're born again. You remember, you hear stories of people, happened to me too, where all of the colors got vibrant and brilliant and bright. Well, it's not that they did. It's just that you woke up to what was always there.
Flavor, food tastes good. Everything, you know, your taste buds. Exactly. Everything wakes up. The awakening. And that is, that's such a good example of what is going on. And guys, just to encourage you, you aren't lost. You haven't lost yourself. Right. I mean, just like a gemstone. A gemstone, they can't be destroyed, you know, they don't lose their value. They're, you know, it's there within you all along. It's just allowing these layers and all these things to just depart and being okay with it. Just know that everything is always working out for you. God's good. He's faithful. He's all about restoration. That is his nature. So just know everything is always working out for you.
It really is. And just leaving you with this is that it'll go much faster.
Yes.
If you just allow the excavation and the unlearning to take place and don't try to fight it.
Yeah.
Don't resist it, saying it's the devil. Resist it, blame shifting and all of that. And if you feel like, well, nothing's happening, that's when everything's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember that this is about trust.
Yeah, follow the leads and prompts.
Follow the leads and prompts. It's not about sitting there not doing anything right. Either. We've talked about that many times. On a vacation, do you just sit there and not do anything? Of course not. You explore the wonders of that beautiful place you're in.
Yeah.
So it's a journey. It's an adventure. It's having fun.
Yeah.
So this is what we recommend. Try to have fun today. Just whatever that is. Oh, I don't have any money, you guys. Well, you don't need money to have fun.
Yeah.
Think of something that's enjoyable to you. Go make yourself a hot cup of something if you're in a cold climate. And go sit in the tub and soak. That's enjoyable. That's fun, right? Whatever it is. Go for a walk. You can think of something.
Right, because once
get your mind off of it.
This is part of allowing these things to break off. And self-care is such a huge thing that'll allow these old paradigms, these old mindsets of rejecting yourself and denying yourself to break off. Say, nope, no more. I'm going to start taking care of myself and coming into alignment. And that's such a big part of it. And how fun. Let yourself enjoy yourself. Let yourself, because it's going to have a rippling effect of you loving others, right? You can't love others unless you're loving yourself. So
yeah, and I just saw a flash of somebody laying in bed and you're bedridden and you're really struggling with pain riveting your body. You know, maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I'd like to have fun. This is where imagination comes in. God has given us a gift of imagination. You can take yourself and your mind to Tahiti. You can take yourself to Fiji. You can take yourself to a mountain resort.
This is what's fun when you're soaking.
Yeah, so when you're soaking, if you're bedridden right now, this is where you have to move above thought. Move above thinking, like the devastation of what you're feeling in your body. Allow your mind, the imagination, the mind of Christ to take you in another place. And when that happens, then your body begins to heal.
Yes.
It begins to absorb that healing power of your own authenticity and who you really are waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, when you move above thought, as hard as it is, what are your choices? You have one of two choices. Continue to spiral in your thinking or move into that beautiful gift called imagination.
What's the reality you want to create? Because the power lies in you. You're an eternal being that came from him and you have the power to create your reality. We do it all day long in the little things, so why not in the big things? We're the only ones differentiating what's big and small.
Yeah, hey, if Dr. Joe Dispenza can do it when he was crippled up after he got hit by an SUV, you know.
Yeah.
You know, some of you know the story. If he can lay there and heal himself completely and walk out of that hospital, then anything's possible. He healed himself with his thoughts.
Yeah, because you know what? Your body's made up a bunch of cells, and all of those cells are like little people. They're conscious. They eat, they digest, they poo, they're conscious. And so they're waiting for your commands from your spirit to tell them, are you going to live or are you going to die? Are you going to heal or are you going to keep, you know, injuring yourself? So they follow suit according to what you tell them to. It's kind of like you're the parent of your children. They follow suit to what you tell them. The same is with the cells of your body. They're very conscious. And so, yeah, I know.
One other thing. I'm starting to see people having questions in the spirit right now.
That's
so
good.
This is good. So another one popped up where I just saw a flash of somebody saying, I'm about ready to get kicked out of my apartment. And you don't have any money. The best thing you can do is not go around the mountain again, begging people for money, asking mom or dad or asking friends and all that, because you've been down this road before and you really don't want to do that. I just saw you warring. The best thing you can do is go in and start soaking and just present yourself. Just lay there and absorb, or jar yourself out of this and go do something that will take your mind off of it, like a walk, or go somewhere that's close to you that's enjoyable.
Right. Or go help somebody else with something.
Yeah, go help somebody else. As hard as that may be, and you're like, I don't want to. I have a story about that real quickly, and some of you heard this a long time ago, but this was years ago when I needed a job, and this was my mentality at the time, that I had to have a job, right? And nobody was calling me, and bills were piling up. Nobody was calling. And then I just went into prayer, and I felt like God said, go help so-and-so. He's going to call you. And sure enough, a friend of mine called and said, hey, I need help putting some cement in some buckets to make a stand for my booth that I'm creating. And he goes, I don't know how to pour cement. Well, I just happen to know how to do it. You know, it's not that hard, but he didn't know how. So, but I didn't want to do it. I'm like, how does this get me a job?
I'm in survival. Yeah. I'm in a crisis here. I can't think about helping anybody else.
I don't want to go help somebody. I want to sit and sulk in my own stuff, right? How does that help us? It's like when Jesus said, how do you add to your life by worrying? Mm-hmm. You can't add anything to your life. It just takes away. It takes away your energy. Anyway, so he calls up, and I'm like, oh. I think he probably even heard it in my voice. I was like, okay, all right, I'll be over there in a little bit. So then I drag myself over there, and I get there, and then we start having a good time after a little while, after I got over myself. And then it wasn't even a half hour into it, I got my first call for a job that I didn't even apply for. If somebody got my name. And then another one, it was like three jobs by the time I got home that night, called, and a couple of them I even forgot about that I even applied for. They were way before. And so I got one of them, and it was a good job, you know, for the time I was in. Why is that? It's because I took my mind off of it. I took the resistance down.
Yep.
I took away the effort.
It unclogged things.
Yeah, and unbeknownst to me at the time, here's an entrepreneur starting his own business, and that was another calling card or calling sign for me that's what we're called to.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that I was just in survival mode. Go get a job. Anyway, the whole point is that when we take the effort out of our thinking is when we let the shield down so that the spirit realm can go to work for us. That's effortless provision. Yes, that is effortless existence.
It's so easy to forget about that God is there ready to help us. We've put so many desires. We've asked him for so many things. And we just think, oh, God didn't hear me. Or, oh, that's gone and passed. Like, no, we have seen in our own life, the Lord never forgets anything. We have watched in our journey when called us to these different places, how he weaves in things that we've asked him for years ago. And it was just a matter of timing. And, you know, and I mean, just different places we requested years ago, we wanted to try and live in or experience. And then, boom, years down the road, opportunities come. And here we are, right where we wanted to experience. And It's just amazing how that works. So he doesn't forget anything. We just got to allow him.
Yes, allow him in.
Stay in alignment. You know, again, going back to this quote we read at the beginning of the show, finding yourself is actually returning to yourself. So alignment, alignment, alignment. And how do you know when you've returned to yourself? You have energy.
Yes.
You feel energy when you talk about that certain subject. And it's so evident. You're like a lightning beam, you know, around you. And you're like, man, life is going good. I feel good about this thing. And so pay attention to how you feel. We have been so taught to override that and just self-sacrifice. And the more pain we have, the more sacrifice, the more badges we gain, right? It's this kind of military mindset that's so far apart from God. He is not that way. He desires. It really is. Look at what he said. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy. And it's not even that. It's like he's wanting to carry this with us. It's supposed to be a smooth path. And so...
Yeah, think about that. I mean, we quote that all the time in church world, right? My yoke is easy. My burden is... Come to me, who are all efforting your brains out.
Heavy laden.
You're heavy laden because you've been thinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
Come to me and I'll help you move above thought and enjoy life. Start playing. And then everything will become easy and effortless. See, we think it all has to be hard work.
No way. What did he say? As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. It's a warped mindset.
It really is.
For us to think that the harder it is, the better it is. And that's, you know, or the more accolades, the more rewards.
More scars I can get.
Oh, man.
Look at my battle wounds,
that's
you know.
So not heaven culture.
No, see, think of a child saying that.
That is really the ego of the world.
Yeah, think about a young child saying that. Oh, look at all the scars, the battle wounds I got from efforting my brains out, mom and dad.
Right.
They're like, what? You'd be looking at him going, excuse me? Don't be like me, honey.
Yeah. Yeah, and the kids are looking at you. Oh, sure, you may have got your badges and awards, but look at what it's cost us emotionally.
Exactly.
You've never been home. You sacrificed us for your job. You sacrificed us for other people and all these kind of things. And so it's, again, when you're in alignment, it makes everything come alive around you. It's so key. And so give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to just start feeling good. And about yourself and getting back into that dream zone and knowing that the next step and guidance will come. And guys, it's not about a big leap. It's just about the next logical step,
unfolding.
The next peaceful step, the next step that has the least resistance that you're most ready for. It's got juice on it. So anyway.
Yep. Okay, the great awakening is here, friends.
Right.
It is here.
Yourself.
Returning to who we really are. That is the great awakening.
And you know deep down who that is.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
All right. We love you guys. We're here for you always, cheering you on all the way. So,
we love
you. All right.
You.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.